So, hello everyone. Thank you for Nils for the presentation. I am Philip, usually known as FaultyX. I should disable the Wi-Fi. I'm talking about the past, present, and future of Jack. Actually, it's going to be quite a technical talk, so any questions, just raise your hand, and then I'll have Nils or someone else with the microphone, or I just repeat the question for the audience. So let's begin. Some initial disclaimers that I'm going to be very harsh. It has to be like this. And I don't like to soften things. Anyway, I better to be direct to the point and truth. As I said, some points are quite technical, so just raise your hand if you don't understand. And also, most of the history about Jack is not something that I experienced myself. I had to ask quite a few people about this and that. I only came to the Linux audio somewhat recently, and to the Jack development as well. So it's a history not told by myself, but what I gathered as information from others. First, I should explain exactly what is Jack for people that don't know, or maybe watching the stream for the first time and don't exactly know what's going on. Jack is basically an audio server. I made this little thing so you can kind of see what's going on. Where you have applications that don't talk directly to the hardware, but they have a little thing in between that helps them take care of the hard parts. So you just say that you want some audio, you want some MIDI, and Jack provides all the nasty things behind the scenes. The nice things is that usually you have applications, everything's separate, as is in this design, but with Jack, it allows applications to talk with each other. Most of you probably already know about this. As the author said, from like Paul Davis, I have a quote saying that the Jack is the best and the simplest audio API available everywhere. It has support for metadata now, that so you can put tags and you can put information all around the system. It's not that used at the moment, but it's there in case we need it. The bigger thing is that it supports interconnectivity. So if you make an application that produces some sound, some effects, you can then connect this to another application in the middle. This is something that you might see a lot in, like, imagine each one of these blocks as a Jack application, there's a Jack client, except for the system, this is just the hardware. So you might have a DAW, in this case Renoise, that is sending output to something else, which is recording or I don't know what else. You can have audio from your desktop things like browser feeding into like some effects or whatever and then going to the system output. This is something that Jack allows. Together as well with shared transport, so all applications are in sync. Parallelization, so the audio runs on multiple cores if things are done properly. And the MIDI is that you receive the MIDI in the sample accurate way, the same way that the plugins do nowadays. But anyway, let's begin with the history. Hopefully that is clear, although if you don't know Jack, it's a bit complicated. It's a complicated project. But let's start with the history. It started around 2001. And back then, this is kind of the situation regarding audio on Linux and on non-Linux. We initially had the LATSPA plugin format, which is the simplest thing you can have for audio plugins. It doesn't provide much. You can see my last year talk with more details about this. ALSA and OSS, this is basically APIs, stuff that you can use as a developer to talk to the audio. These are the actual audio interfaces. There's no wrapper in between, so you actually, it's quite hard and technical to try to develop for these APIs. Stuff that is not on Linux, ASIO was beginning to be a thing back then. I remember when using Windows, it was quite a pain because you couldn't use audio as in the normal laptop or in the normal sound card. It required very specific drivers and things like this. Now things are a bit better on the Windows side because you have audio for all and other related projects. So any actual any drivers or any codecs or any audio card basically has an audio driver right now. It supported VSTs initially, like many years ago on Windows, where you have the custom GUIs, which at the moment in 2001, there was no way at all to do this in Linux. I mean, you had the applications which talk to Alpha, but that's not plugins. The plugins was LUTSPA, which don't provide GUI support. So during like LAC and also in between developers, they thought that we should fix it, do something about it. LAC is the Linux Audio Conference. It's like a year event, just like Sonoy, all about Linux and audio and developing and getting all the developer community together. This very, very technical event on purpose. So all the developers meet there and they share ideas on how they can improve things. So the requirements they have is basically to make custom GUIs because other systems have them and we don't have it on Linux. Like basic parameters work up to a point. You cannot load files. There's no tempo information that you get in your in your plugin or something like this. Then one of the requirements was to make it in the Unix way. This means that you do one thing and you do it nice and good and let each person or each developer, each project do one thing and do it well. Then you find a way to connect between them. And this way we have several tools that by themselves that may be not very useful, but when you connect everything together, it becomes quite nice. And that was one of the key designs for making something to fix the situation. So with this idea in mind, it became Jack begins. Paul Davis is the original author. He was working on Ardor back then. So he took the Ardor code, which at the moment only did audio. So Ardor, Jack in the very beginning also only did audio. There was no MIDI support in there. The API was growing when developers start using this and throwing some ideas of what it should do, what it should not do. It grew in a way that it didn't become overly complicated. At some point, we added metadata, which I think is quite nice to have, even though most people don't know because it was not in Jack 2, but I'll explain a little bit about this later. In parallel, while Jack was being developed in LAC and the Linux audio community, basically, we began to have custom GUIs in Linux plugins. This was made possible by the DSSI format, although not everyone agreed with this. DSSI is basically just another specification like VST, LUTSPA, and other things. We started to have Windows VSTs running on Linux. This was basically just using the Wine and some other fancy tricks in order to get them to work with Jack. So you have you load a Windows VST and make it a Jack client. Back then, it was one of the only ways to have custom GUIs and quite a few plugins running on Linux. You just bring all the stuff from Windows. We also got VST working on Linux. Unofficially, because it was never really supported by the company, by Steinberg, we started having session managers because we realized that even though you can have all these separate tools and interconnect them, that was quite nice, you need a way to save your session. So when you're working on something, you want to save it and then restore everything again, you will have to start every single application separately, which is quite a pain. And you have to have the right parameters, the right connections, everything. So people started doing session managers. There was also some quite painful thing about Linux audio where each project and desktop decided to do its own audio API. So you know, not only had you have ALSA and OSS and Jack, there was many other things. There's more that I didn't even list. There's no point for this. But in the end, everyone went Pulse Audio. Like, yeah, we gave up. Pulse Audio wins, whatever. On the Windows, or not Linux side, VST 2.4 became a thing, which, well, it's what most audio applications use now. That's standard. And Rewire as well. Do people not know what Rewire is, actually? Can you raise your hand if you don't know Rewire? Okay, quite a few people. Rewire is basically like a plugin format, but made for applications. It doesn't support much at all. You just have an audio stream from one application to the other, and transport as well. And it does not flow, the transport does not go back, it's not shared. It's one application controls the other. At least that's what I think it is. It's kind of like Jack, but very limited in that only two, you can only have one application connecting to another. It is simple, which makes it also easy to use. So usually you have in your DAW like a Rewire, just a Rewire wrapper, I'd say. And then it lists whatever applications are Rewire compatible, you load them, and then you have one application inside the other. This only works on Windows and Mac, does not work on Linux, because we already have Jack in there, we don't need this. The thing is that Rewire, at least on Windows and Mac OS, I would say, is kind of known. We cannot say the same about Jack. But anyway, while this was happening, shortly a little bit after, Jack 2 started. Jack 2 actually started as Jack DMP, which means Jack D as multiprocessor. This started because developer interest started dropping in the original Jack implementation, in the original Jack project, because it was also kind of complete in a way that, yeah, it works. That's fine. We don't need actually to do much for it now anymore. That was the thought. And also some people were upset that Jack used C. It's like another language, but now people actually prefer it. It's better to not discuss languages here anyway. Anyway, so some people wanted to take Jack and make it a little bit better. This means that you don't get a click every time you make a new connection, like the things we have here. Where on the original Jack project, when you drag something to make a connection, like this is an audio port, it is an audio port, you hear a little bit of a click when you make this connection, every single connection. So we want to get rid of this. The parallelization is something as well. So you have a very big project with many applications. It's in the original Jack project, it was using just one single core, which is not nice. So parallelization was the thing. The async mode as well, asynchronous mode. Most people are actually using it and they don't know about it. This basically means that you run the entire graph, the entire audio one time. You take the output of every single application here from the previous time that the audio was generated, and those things that actually are ready are the things that get used. The thing, like, it adds a little one cycle, I would say, of latency on the entire audio, but usually it's quite minimal. The idea is that if there's a rogue application and it's getting the audio stuck, like in this case, this one, imagine like Renoise is stopped working. On the async mode, it means that this is kind of just taken out of the graph. This one cannot process as well because it depends on this one, but the entire audio keeps working anyway. in the original Jack project, if one client misbehaves, it stops processing the entire audio because it cannot just continue. But the asynchronous mode means that we can have audio that keeps running, like this one is unaffected, this one is unaffected, just this one is a bad one, and well, you just wait until it recovers. Jack 2 made this, I believe, mostly because it wanted to be cross-platform, so working on Windows was like a big thing, and applications on Windows sometimes misbehave. So you do want to compensate it somehow, and this was one way of doing it. They also added profiling and other actually extra stuff that most people don't know. You can see how precise the cycle is in the audio cycle runs, but most people don't actually use it. There was a lot of stuff that got added into Jack 2 that not widely used at all. Thing is, this is about being harsh. The Jack 2 code is quite ugly. I cannot say it in any other way. There was communication issues, and developer approach was not liked by the Linux audio community in general. Like the author of Jack 2, Stefan, I believe is French, but the English language was not the best, so communicating was a little bit problematic. And because not everyone agrees with the way Jack was going and the code was being made and the releases made as well, Jack 1 still continues. So we end up with the two projects running in parallel. We had Jack 1 and Jack 2. I think that's terrible, to be honest, like fighting the things instead of collaborating, but we had the issues of you have to pick one or the other. Even though they mostly work the same, not really. There are some features that Jack 1 has that Jack 2 doesn't, and vice versa. And then you have distributions that decide to package both. So it was a little bit complicated to know what you're running, and sometimes you have to switch because one application, one developer decides that they only care about Jack 2, they don't care about Jack 1, and then you have to switch your Jack versions, and then a bit messy. There was for a long time that metadata was only done for Jack 1 because Jack 2 was more interested in other things. On the last release, a few weeks ago, we actually got officially Jack 2 metadata for Jack 2, which I thank actually Rui for the initial pull request. And there was also some like losing interest on Jack 1, which I can kind of understand, that you made something that is at least project-wise, how it's set up, it is better. Jack 2, if you try to make any changes, it's quite, you get lost in all this code in there. There was also the case of someone submitting a patch to Jack 1, but the patch was so badly made that cannot be merged. And then Paul Davis tried to like convert all the styling of Jack to be unified, then applying the patch and doing the unification of that patch as well, and then merging it back into one, and then it didn't work anyway. And at some point you get I don't really care for this as a developer, you know, you get tired of all this bullshit. At the same time, while these problems occur, you also have the war of session managers. There's not only Lash and Lavish, there's other things that exist, like running custom scripts and other applications. Then Jack Session tried to do it as well, and the non-session manager as well, which is a pain to the users, actually, because one application supports one, and another, and then they don't talk, everything does not talk the same way. It's very frustrating trying to make everything work together. You have the case of classic versus dbus. Actually, this dbus is not written like this, but anyway. Which means, I should try to explain this in an easy way. You can start Jack in the command line, or you can use it as a dbus service, and they're not compatible with each other. And some users or some applications expect one or expect the other, and they don't play very well together. It could have been done a lot better, but that was not the case anyway. You also have the case of people that gave up on having standalones and interconnecting things, and prefer just go to the plugin way. Instead of using separate applications, just use a single one and bring everything as plugins. The thing is that LATSPO was too simple. DSSI, like a middle, it's on the middle of being simple and allowing things, but it's still not allow time and other stuff that we need. VST was proprietary, but we got LV2 at some point, and people were like, yes, finally we have a proper standard and we can actually do cool stuff. So some people started going on the plugin side and forgot standalones because you need a session manager, and there was, as you see, even more than this, it was quite messy. So LV2 was beginning to be a thing. Pulse audio was getting a lot of attention in the way that it's not so bad. It works generally. The biggest issue is that it blocks the sound card when it's running, at least initially. Things got better with Jack 2 that tried to integrate it. If you use Jack Dbus, it integrates with other things that Pulse Audio uses, so it tells Pulse Audio to stop and let me take over, and Pulse Audio sometimes says yes. And there's other things, the Wine project removed Jack support. So in general, as a desktop user, using Jack became really problematic because most things would not support Jack anymore. They only speak Pulse Audio. You do want to bridge Pulse Audio to Jack, but that is only possible if you use Jack Dbus. The Jack one is more tricky for this. Pipewire slowly became a thing as well, but I'll mention that in a separate case. On the other non-Linux side, there was one attempt to use the Jack on the iOS system. I'll talk more about this if I have time a little bit later on, but it was a thing for 2 months. Soundflower became a thing as well. There was people trying to do... Yes? That's a question.
Is the Jack on iOS, you mean like iPads?
Yes.
Okay, so not OS X, so Macs, desktop.
Not on Mac, but an actual iPhone. iPhone or tablet or something like this.
Okay, thanks.
We had this working for 2 months until Apple decided that they're not going to allow applications to talk to one another. And then I think some weeks or some months after the Jack for iOS was released, it died because it couldn't work anymore, which is very sad. Apple killed it, yes. Actually, on the next, on the upcoming macOS releases might be the same thing, actually, because Apple is pushing more and more for applications that only come from the from the App Store. You cannot just run random binaries anymore, which is going to be a problem for Jack. But that's Mac, I don't know, something to try to handle. Yeah. Anyway, my point is, he had some external projects. I can talk a little bit about Soundflower, which is something that only works on Mac, which is a virtual device that you can, you open an application, instead of saying that you connect to the speakers, you say, I want to send this to Soundflower. It appears as a virtual device. Then you have in another application saying that I want to receive audio from Soundflower. So you basically have one application sending audio to one virtual place and another application receiving it. Basically, kind of like Rewire or Jack does it, but in the sense that it's a hardware device. So you get compatibility with everything because it just has to do audio. It's just the application only sees it as a hardware device, which is quite neat. But it doesn't support transport, other things like this, because that's not possible. Even though Jack was not very popular on these operating systems, in a few years ago, maybe even now, if you ask Mac or Windows users what jack is, they don't have any idea. There are other projects that try to use concepts similar to jack, but they're not jack. They make it a lot easier and a lot simpler. Let's see, current state over jack things. Jack 2 wins over Jack 1 because it has more features, even though Jack 1 still has one or two things that it does better. I am currently maintaining both, actually, if you didn't know. The Jack mailing list is gone. I'm very sorry about this. If I can explain quickly, like, Paul Davis was still owning the jackaudio.org domain, and because I was always lazy, I never bothered to change it. So recently, I told him I'm going to stop being lazy. I'm going to move the domain and move everything so I don't have to keep asking about small things. I think a few days before the thing was completed, we already did the request. We forgot about the mailing list, to be honest. And the mailing list was on this domain. Basically, now it's gone because we forgot about it. We didn't think of this. But we'll have a solution. We'll have it kind of back in some weeks, I hope. And painfully keeping at it, which I mean, like, it's not easy to take care of Jack because there's so many issues inside. The way it was made very quickly, hacky way, kind of. But yeah, at least keeping at it. But anyway, future plans. Jack 1 and Jack 2 feature parity. This means the stuff that is on Jack 1 that is not on Jack 2 yet, everything is coming over. There's only one thing left. That was the metadata that was done in this release a few weeks ago. Now we have only the internal clients, which is regarding MIDI bridges and ALSA bridges. So you can have multiple devices when you start Jack, basically. You start Jack in a special way, and then you have, I don't know, three audio devices and all your MIDI bridge all in one go. It's something that Jack does, and Jack 1 does. Jack 2, not really, although it can do in other ways, but it's not compatible. The idea is to have, if you have something that depends on Jack 1, if you switch to Jack 2, it's going to work flawlessly. So you kind of have Jack 1 as the compatibility thing, and then Jack 2 as the more advanced thing that does other stuff, but supports everything that Jack 1 does. So it's basically like a successor, finally, after all this time. Unite the API, this is just basically means that they share a lot of stuff. All the core parts that define how Jack should work, they should be exactly the same. If at some point we do another Jack, then we can just reuse this core part and we'll be fine. Because the Jack 2 development was a bit strange, even though people from Jack 1 tried to share things as much as possible, Jack 2 did not actually use it. Like, it just copies everything over and just modifies what it needs. So it needs to unite things. I think it's something good to do. In regard to session management, the things that manages your session, your files, whatever inside the Jack, the audio session. I'm going to deprecate everything else. Non-session manager is the winner. Congratulations to Jonathan. Because honestly, it just makes sense. And the specification for this session manager is quite nice. It's very well defined. And the more people that merge into a single one, the better. Because then we don't have these little wars and things going on. So while the rest of stuff still keeps working, like Lash if you really want to, or Ladish, or Jack Session, at least on the Jack side, the Jack Session is going to be marked as deprecated, so hopefully no new applications use it. I hope so. I also need some fixes, obviously, in cleaning up the codes, boring stuff basically, but it's what should be done on the short term so that in the long term it becomes a little bit nicer to work with. Waf waf, which means the build system is a pain. Waf, made in Python and other things. But we just have to change this to something else. This is like a developer thing. Long term, it needs to get some cross-platform attention. This is actually my fault because I don't use Windows or Mac at all. So just been ignoring this all the time. I know people want to use Jack and it doesn't work correctly in there. I'm sorry, but other things come first. So in the long term, I will try to bring it and make it work nicer on these platforms. CV and OSC types would be nice to have. We kind of have like a hack around using metadata. Like if you don't know, like Jack has audio and MIDI as a port type, things that you can connect applications. CV is basically just audio with a different tag, and OSC is basically like messages, kind of like MIDI. It's quite easy to do, just has to be very well defined. And more importantly, try to not let it die, the project. We should keep it running. Put actual new stuff. I don't know if it's going to have new stuff besides the CV and OSC because it's just tiny changes. But anyway, some reflections on all of this. There were many fights, many struggles that I don't think it was really needed, to be honest. But I guess it always happens. But it's just things slow down and like it's not always the best when you have developers fighting, not agreeing with in ideas, in vision. Then the project just kind of you lose interest in your own project when things like this happens. Jack has terrible, terrible marketing. That's why I say like the Windows and Mac OS users don't know about Jack, don't know that it exists, basically. Even though Jack is a great piece of software because it can do really amazing stuff, like one application connecting to another, like in Windows and Mac, you usually don't get this at all. Is that like great software, but also the user experience that was probably the biggest pain why it didn't grow so much. The user experience is very terrible. It's quite advanced software, so if people don't understand it, I mean, it's getting very difficult to use. And the tools have not always been the best to set up Jack, like the session manager as well, something that needed. Yeah. I think you get the idea. Like the issue with Pulse Audio as well, trying to figure out all these things has been a pain over the years. Because I guess I still have some time. I just want to mention. Okay, fine. Yes. Let's see. This is Jack iOS. Something that I. Let's show the picture. Ah, right. I disconnected from the internet. Just a second. The Jack iOS project started when a company wanted to use Jack inside like an iPhone because the idea actually fits very well. Imagine like each one of these things is a Jack client, which is its own application. You have then the Unix idea, the idea that you do one thing and you do it well. So imagine you do a MIDI piano for your phone, for your tablet. Then someone else does like a synthesizer. Someone else does an effects processing thing. And you just connect one thing to the other. And I think for something like a phone, it makes quite a lot of sense. So this idea initially was quite neat. They actually did some additions to the Jack API as well, like the icons, like this one, for example. This initially was the Jack custom data API, which Paul Davis did not like at all, to be honest. That's fine. I like to think that because I took this and made a patch out of it that I was going to apply directly in Jack 2, and Paul Davis was scared that this would happen. They would have this as an official API, so he actually quickly did the metadata API in Jack 1, said, no, this is how metadata is going to be done. No custom data, no very limited things. No icons, just complete metadata. And I don't know, I like to think that because of this, we got metadata as an official API. Oh, shit.
One question on
Yes. No. The thing that happens is that they even explain it, but you can read it about it later. Actually, iOS 7, I think that's quite old by now. Apple allowed, maybe didn't even thought about it, that applications talk to each other. This is called IPC. So you have one application that shares resources in the RAM and another application that knows the protocol and can read and talk between each other. And starting with iOS 7, this was like, it's not allowed anymore for security reasons or whatever, but not everyone actually believes this. The thing is that, when Jack stopped working, there were still some applications in the App Store that still managed to do similar things because they had like some connections with Apple and their private stuff, private APIs. But nowadays, you cannot have anything like this for iOS.
Kind of a similar way. Maybe that's why they want to force us there.
Yeah, I guess so. Like they made their own spec, their own standard, and because they want to be in control, they say no, no, no. We do our own thing. You do it like this, and that's it. Yeah, that's basically how Apple likes to do things. But anyway, this is, I cannot press this button. This is Jack iOS, which I think would be quite nice. Maybe at some point we have something similar for Android, even though Google tried, but because audio on Android is quite terrible, really. It doesn't really make a lot of sense to try to do this, at least not now and there. But this is just to show that Jack can do a lot of good stuff. Like this provides a very good user experience. Like the setup is minimal. All the software is there, just basically Jack. But for the user, because the user experience is so nice, they can start using it. And I think they'll be happy with this, if it worked anyway. But OK, where was I? OK, something about long future, because probably people are going to ask about Jack 3. The answer is no, not really. But if would happen at some point, this would be some of the requirements for such a project. First would be a pure C code base, no more C++. We had our experience with Jack 2. No, we're saying no to this. It's quite technical because you can do everything in C. This is very developer-centric thing, but yes, one of the requirements. And it needs to have like multi-core and click-free and all these things that Jack 1 initially did not have. I should mention that there was a project that tried to do this, actually, like taking Jack 1 and making it click-free and other things. But the author, there was some deep issues with the software. They couldn't figure out exactly what was going on, why it was not working right. And then the author got busy with other stuff, with other projects, and the thing just ended up abandoned. Check. Yes, that's the name of the thing. Just check. But yeah, now we have just Jack 1 and Jack 2 being the important stuff. The other requirement would be to have a proper dbus control. If you have the pain of like using the class Jack D and Jack dbus, there was an idea. There is one thing called libjackserver, which basically means that when Jack is running, you can still talk to it, and you don't have to have an entire Jack dbus in order to just change things in the current Jack, which was not what was done, actually. We got Jack dbus and Jack D, which do the same thing, kind of, but in the, like, they are started and managed in different ways, but they contain exactly the same thing. And they're not compatible with each other. We cannot have one running and the other as well. If, like in the future, we want to do it nice, we have only Jack D that actually runs like the audio, and they have a separate thing. I didn't do the thing. So you have a separate Jack D bus that only talks to this library and then everything still works. It's quite, I can explain if someone really wants to get deep into this. But the idea is not make Jack D and Jack D as completely, well, non-compatible. The shared tempo map is quite a big thing, and also the transport, which is a bit problematic in Jack at the moment. Even though applications can share time, they are in sync with one another. If one of them does looping, like in the middle of your audio, the it stops from one point and goes back to another. Only one application can actually do it properly, which is the one that controls the transport. The other one actually does not know that this was happening. So imagine you have like a loop, two looper applications. There's going to be one that is always a little bit off by a few frames at the end of the loop because of something that was done in Jack that was not thought out properly, maybe. I don't know, but it's a limitation currently of the Jack API. And the shared tempo map as well, because there's always some fights with Rui about this. The shared tempo map is another thing, basically just to say that if an application changes time somewhere in their timeline, maybe like it changes the bar beats, instead of being 4-4, it changes to 3-4 at some point. Currently, there's no way for any application to know that this is going to happen. And this is also a limitation that if some new version of Jack gets made, it should be, it should take it in consideration. Another thing would be to open development. This is mostly relevant because there are like other implementations of Jack out there, but they are private, which only one person uses or a few people. And this is not a good way to actually to do any development at all. It needs to be done by the community, tracking issues, all these things, not behind closed doors. But to be really honest now, the actual Jack future, the main thing was not to let it die, basically, because you have to realize it's not a very good project to take care of, not easy. With like prioritizing also fixes over adding new stuff, not making the same mistake of adding more and more and more stuff and the software becomes more complex and not even documented at all. So even though you have fancy new things you can do, nobody uses them because it's not written anywhere how to use them, which is then a little bit pointless. We do need better tools. This is not related to the Jack project itself, but in general, in terms of community, in terms of everything. Like, we have the QJackCTL, I guess that works fine, but for some people. Yeah, but it's still very quite technical. I don't know, it's the user experience is still not the best because of like Pulse Audio and Jack and the getting some things, trying to connect some things with it's a mess. But anyway, something that might solve this, that I would like to introduce a little bit, is PipeWire, which, how many people actually know about PipeWire? Can you raise your hand? Yeah. I mean, most people don't know at this point what PipeWire is. PipeWire is basically trying to do everything together. So instead of having Pulse and ALSA and Jack, you have everything into one, which I actually have, like the PipeWire main developer is here. Can I get the microphone? If it's okay with you, I'll like for him to say a few things about the project.
Yep. Hello. Yeah, so PipeWire has a little bit of history, but the main way that it came to be was for sharing video on the desktop, and it comes from I'm working for Red Hat for the desktop team, so it's very user centric, and it grew into this thing that now also does audio, because Pulse Audio has its share of problems, so I was making something that does multimedia transport, so why not do audio? And then I came to look at how Jack does things, and then I built something that is kind of supports all of the use cases of Jack and Pulse. So, but I'm trying to come from it from a user experience kind of viewpoint. So I'm hoping that it will be a better Pulse audio and a better Jack experience. But yeah. So currently, it's still in development. We have plans to do like a preview release in Fedora 32, which is next year, I think. So it can run Pulse audio apps and Jack apps together, and it supports quite a bit of Jack API. It has the same kind of performance as Jack, but it has like all the fancy stuff built in, like security, and it tries to fix the problems of the previous slides. So it's a crazy project, and it's a lot of work. But yeah, it's an attempt, and yeah, I think it can work. So hopefully we can do it. So yeah, something to look forward to, I hope.
Yes, thank you. So actually, because I've been talking to him quite some time, I can show you what it does at the moment. This is something that you might know. This is the patch, like a patch bay, the one that I did, that is in Katia and Carl and other applications. This is actually Pipewire, but Carla is talking over Jack, even though it's Pipewire actually doing things, but it doesn't know about it because it like Pipewire implements the Jack API, and this is how you like it presents itself for Jack applications. So if you have a like a random Jack application, let's see what I can run here. What did I have before? I usually just go with Carla. So this is my, this is the one of the correct one, just a second. I have to make sure this is running, yes. And this was working before, but obviously. Ah, I know why this. I need this. And now I need to start this thing. Just to show you something quickly. Okay, so this is my own host, Carla, and you have the same thing. Like, this is the as it knows the Jack RAF to be. And I'm loading a Jack client, any random thing. Let's clear this one thing here. This is another Jack client that could be any application, like can even be Renoise, Ardor, or whatever. And all these things here are Jack applications. The thing I like the most, if I still have it here in cache somewhere. VLC. I need to take out the volume. So now I have it muted because of copyright reasons, but you have VLC that is not talking to Jack, is actually talking to Pulse Audio. But Pulse Audio is being bridged to Pipewire. So actually what you get in the graph is a Pulse Audio application that appears as if it was a Jack client. And I can interconnect this as I want, which I find quite nice. The other thing is that all your devices are listed in here. You don't have the issue of having like to manually write something in order to add a new device into the Jack graph. All of them appear in here, they're dynamic. if I remove or add a new thing, just another block appears here as a little client, and I can connect to them. One question, actually.
I have it here. Ah. Do you have to relink the application against the Pipewire library?
No.
Okay.
The application just works as is. And another question in the back.
Does this piping from Pulse Audio to Jack cause any extra latency or problems like that, or is it?
Well, I will have let Wim to actually to answer this.
Yeah, so for the Pulse Audio apps, it's a lot better. You get a lot lower latency if you run it on top of Pipewire. But basically, does most Jack apps say is they request a certain latency. So that's the size of the buffer that they fill, and that's the amount of data that they give. So you don't get lower latency than that. But for example, if an app, a Pulse Audio app, would ask for 1 millisecond, we can actually give it to him. With Pulse Audio, you get 100% CPU. It's kind of similar in performance for normal buffer sizes, but once you go to low latency, it actually is a lot better. Like, for example, if you run Pulse Audio as a Jack client, what you usually see is if you put a very small buffer sizes on Jack, the Pulse Audio CPU goes through the roof because it gets woken up too often. So these things you don't have at all. So.
Well, thank you. And by the way, I just want to say a special thanks to Paul Davis, to Torben Hahn, and to Stefan Letz. Yes, and there was a question, but because they worked on the Jack project initially and they brought this great software. We have to maintain it now, but the hard part is done anyway, so that's good. Yes.
I have another question to Pipewire. How about the real-time capabilities? Is it that good as Jack is? Yes? Okay.
Yeah, that was actually something that we were not sure about last year, and Robin was quite vocal about this and some other developers, because Pipewire was not doing things the correct way. But after like some complaints, loud complaints, they just did the things that we requested, and I guess that's the turning point. The things are working quite well at the moment.
What does the Jack developer team look like at the moment? How many people are there constantly contributing code? Is it just you, or?
Well, it's mostly me, which is basically just reviewing pull requests and trying to do one thing or here. There's a few contributors, but no real development, no real active development happening at the moment. For my own case, like when I have projects and I need something to do, I usually just go with something else, not Jack directly. Jack is something a little bit on the side that I fix because it needs to be fixed. Not something that gets worked on for fun. That point is long past. But yes, so development team, I guess you can say me. I have David Runsch in Berlin helping a lot with the build system. And we have some very nice people just like contributing a lot of patches, which I still have to review and merge. Yeah. Another question there.
Assuming anyone's got any of that mythical stuff called free time, are you looking for any sort of assistance with Jack at all? I mean, can people look through, I'm not saying necessarily look through the code, but actually run it and report issues and things like that? Is there a formal way of doing that at all?
Well, yeah, you have the GitHub project. How it's been done for quite some time. Like, it's not like some projects where you have no way to report unless you mail or something like this. The public, like the project is public. You can see the issues, the pull requests, and everything like this. You need a web browser, obviously. But yes, I think everyone kind of has one these days. Another question.
Is there any kind of financial backing behind Jack, or is there like companies that are contributing like regularly, or do you see any potential there?
I don't know of anything like this. There was the case, for example, that Samsung did some code regarding Android because they wanted to use on their phones. But they just did a pull request. It was okay, so got merged, fine. But there's no company behind the Jack project at the moment at all.
I was wondering about, so you were talking about Jack being maybe more focused on cross-platform, and at the same time we're discussing now about Pipewire being maybe what will eventually come next. So what about application that would be working on other platforms like Windows or Mac? Like, how would that fit with Pipewire becoming the next, the replacement for Jack on the Linux platform?
Very good question. Honestly, I'm not sure. I mean, the idea with the cross-platform is to make Jack work nicely on this, on non-Linux platforms. The thing is, even with Pipewire, I'm very sure that there's still going to be people that still want to keep using Jack, because they don't need Pulse Audio, they don't need ALSA bridges, they only need Jack, which is fair. And there's going to be things that Pipewire may never do, like the freewheeling and other more edge cases that are relevant to Jack, but not so relevant for a desktop. So I got a little bit distracted. Anyway, I hope this answers a little bit of the question.
Well, I'm really looking forward to things like Pipewire and more interoperability between the pro audio world and the also like web browsers, YouTube, Skype, and such, because that's important for podcasters in the podcasting community. They people who want to use Linux, they get quite confused between Jack, Pulse Audio, what's all this? And so it's I'm delighted to have some perspective for the future. However, there's one thing that also keeps me attached to the past, and that's my beloved FireWire interface from like 2009, which I can use thanks to the Jack FireWire backend. And I happily got it to run with my new PC this year. I tried several FireWire cards, and I plan to use it for the next, let's say, 10 years. So what's the perspective to use FireWire audio interfaces in Pipewire?
Well, I can say that also the ALSA project now supports a few FireWire cards, so that might be a way to go. I'm not sure how good the support is, but in either case, for these specific edge cases, you have to use Jack directly. There's going to be always a few things that you cannot do with a bridge or with Pipewire. But you want to say something?
Yes, it's a matter of writing the backend, and I don't have a FireWire card, so then I can't write it. Well, I can write something and then let you test, and then.
No. Yeah, there's nothing done for this at the moment. No. You just have to hope it works in ALSA, then it will work in everywhere. That will be the best case. And last question.
Sorry for like dragging it along. I've heard about Pipewire before. I was not able to understand what it is, and I didn't see it anywhere, just the website. But from what you say, it's like, I don't know if I imagine it correctly, but could it be like the one audio server that would understand all the APIs we use, the Jack API, the Pulse Audio API, maybe other things, maybe other operating systems, stuff like Core Audio or whatever, and just unite all of that and make the user experience finally painless, hopefully, maybe?
That'll be the idea, yeah. I mean, Core Audio is something only for Apple, whatever. I don't think Pipewire wants to run on these platforms at all. No, okay. It makes sense from Red Hat, they only care about Linux. But that's the intention. Make the user experience, overall desktop experience, that's the point here, to be as smooth as possible. Final question.
Going back to Jack, I didn't see you mention anything about NetJack in your presentation.
Yes.
What is the state of this beast?
That's because I never use it at all. I even put it here just as a reminder. That's like network. Like, this is one of the things that I say about user experience in Jack, that is a very nice piece of software. There is this thing that is not very well documented, and there's not a lot of tools to actually provide this functionality. So most people don't even know it's there, even though it's quite nice. Like, this means that you can have Jack running here on my computer and on other computers, and all the audio and all the transport is in sync. Everyone is in sync, which is quite nice, but because we lack user experience and other things, it's very difficult to set up. So like, I don't use it myself. I kind of, in this way, gets ignored because I don't actually, for me, there is no use. I don't exactly know how to go about fixing things in there.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, I think we are out of time. And yeah, thank you for the talk.
Thank you.